Welcome to Get Over It, Intuitive Transformation Radio for exceptional 21st century living. We have got a wonderful, wonderful show tonight. Meg Buehler's joining me, and her book is Weave the Heart of the Universe into Your Life, Aligning with Cosmic Energy. Now, folks, this is definitely a show where you just want to relax and have your pen and paper ready, because you're going to want to take some notes so that you can start to shift your life and also find out where to get this book and the other information that is shared. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. The real question is, are you ready to? Now, by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book, and Masterful Choices, The Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. My clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help you. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, from my website, and that is MoniqueChapman.com. Everything is made of energy, of waves and patterns of light and vibration. This is true everywhere, in your body, in a river, in the cosmos. When you want to change anything, inside or out, you have to learn how to work with energy. It's that simple. Meg Buehler, author and shamanic guide, weaves ancient wisdom into potent pathways for connecting with the heart of nature and the cosmos. Her passion is inspiring people to liberate their love, vision, and sacred power through mentoring, teaching, and healing. A lifelong explorer of shamanic and mystic and meditative consciousness, Meg is the creator of Energy Alchemy and founder of Earth Caretakers. She lives in Sonoma Mountains and the San Francisco Bay Area, and you can check her out at her website, and that is MegBuehler.com. That's MegBuehler.com. And Meg says, the universe is a feast. Get back to the table. Welcome, Meg.
Thank you, Monique. I'm very happy to be with you today.
Oh, I am so glad that you're here. You know, absolutely love the book, Weave the Heart of the Universe into Your Life, Aligning with Cosmic Energy. You know, this book is so important for the energies that are swirling around planet Earth right now, definitely here in the United States, but also worldwide. How did you come to put this compilation of work together?
I've been studying in the Andes in Peru for 20 or 25 years, and initially the perception of everything being alive and the ways that people move energy in that culture began teaching me a different perspective, a different perception. Mm-hmm. It made sense to me because I'd always loved nature, but I hadn't ever run into anybody who actually engaged with the energy and spirit and everything on a daily basis. So I had some wonderful teachers along the way, and I've been teaching it myself and working it. And initially I thought I was going to write actually about the Carol people, whom I first studied with. And as I wrote, like many writers, I realized I needed to write what I knew, and that I was writing how I had put all this learning together, not just from that culture, but many other indigenous cultures, into a way of perceiving that really worked for me and worked for my students, clients. So that's how I came to write it. I came to write it because I've been a writer all my life. It's just sort of a thing that I like to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, from reading your book, I think that you've been a writer all of your life, but also a storyteller and also a very deep shamanic healer. In your book, you have over 84 practices, and the practices, folks, are exercises that you can do to shift your energy in an instant. And a little bit later in the show, we'll talk about some of those. But, you know, I want to go back to the story thing. You said, you know, how the book came to being. Why was it important to release it now?
All of us listening right now and in the future are beset with so much density every single day, and with all the storms and fires and all that stuff going on, it becomes harder and harder to maintain any equanimity. So in some ways now is as good a time as any, but in a lot of ways, for those of us who are looking to the future and trying to help heal people and the planet, being able to manage our energy is absolutely crucial. So, for example, when I read too much news or get despairing about something that's happening, I literally stop and do one of the practices in the book to shift my attention and my energy so that I can return to being open-hearted and I can return to doing the work that I want to do. And I wanted other people to be able to access the same thing in themselves.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just said an important point. It's important to every now and then tune away, but sometimes when we tune away, our mind, our bodies, our spirit, our soul even still holds on to that discordant energy. So it's important to have a tool, a technique, so that you can completely release. Now, you say that energy is pure potential. It's non-local and holographic. What do you mean by that?
Everything has energy. The molecules in the table that I'm sitting at have energy, even though I can't see them. They're moving around and interacting with each other. Mm-hmm. We feel the energy in the air. We, of course, have all this energy in our own bodies. And some, you know, energy is it's not interchangeable with spirit, but it's related to spirit. The aliveness and vitality in each one of us and in each tree and in each stone is, you know, really remarkable, and it's all interconnected. So when I say it's holographic, I mean that you can, in relating to one tree or one animal, you're relating to the whole. And the more that you perceive that and experience yourself as part of the whole, the easier it is to live.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The potential is, you know, people have different experiences of the universe, and it's not something we want to go blathering on about, but one of the experiential parts of my perception is that when I go in visualization or meditation into the universe, what I experience is the tremendous power, the potential, and the destruction. You know, a black hole eats everything, and most of it doesn't come back out again. So that's but it's transforming somehow in a way that we don't even understand very well yet. Mm-hmm. When a star forms, there's this tremendous energy. So the idea of being aware of the energy in everything and experiencing it and looking at it and using it is really transformative. Mm-hmm. So here's an example. When the Caro people in the high Andes, you know, they live at 15,000 to 17,000 feet. When they get up in the morning, and it's very, very cold, I've been up that high, Mm-hmm. With all my clothes on, I was still cold. So one of the things someone might do is to face the sun and stick their tongue out and swallow the sun. When you do that just a few times, you realize that you're swallowing the heat of the sun. You're swallowing the energy of the sun. You're swallowing the transformative power of the sun. Mm-hmm. And you're taking it into your whole body, and so it feeds you. Or I have another meditation that I do in the morning where I connect with my wellspring. It's a vision somebody gave me in a workshop a long time ago, and I can see my wellspring, this amazing spring of water coming out, and I draw that energy into my body, first to my belly, then to my heart, and then to my third eye, to fuel my day, and to connect with the flow that's in water.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some specific examples of how it's, you know, full of potential.
Okay, well, very full of potential. And, you know, the one thing that I really appreciated in reading the book was how you talk about being basically in the world but not of the world, but being aware. I don't remember exactly what it was, where it was in the book, but one of the exercises talked about paying attention to the weed. I guess you were someplace and you were eating and you would sit next to the weeds and you were in complete silence and you would tune into the energy of the weeds. And that really came home for me as I do a lot of gardening. So before just plucking up the weed and, you know, tossing it away, I actually had conversations with the weeds, and it was amazing how more open I became. How is it that we can connect to nature in this wonderful way and we're just like overlooking it?
Yeah, well, that's a wonderful example, and that's part of my hope for this book, that it stimulates people in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You and I might relate to the weed, somebody else might relate to a tree, somebody else to a lake, but in choosing the practices, and it's not like you have to do all of them, but that in choosing the ones that appeal to you,
mm-hmm.
You step by step make those connections and open up to the world in a different way.
Okay. Folks, we're speaking with Meg Bieler. Her book is Weave the Heart of the Universe into Your Life, Aligning with the Cosmic Energy. And you can check her out at her website, and that's megbieler.com, MegBieler.com. And we'll be talking about what's on her website in a little bit. Meg,
I just want to say that this is actually the week that FinTorn released the book, FinTorn Press, so it's available from them. You can order it from your independent bookstore. You can order it from any bookstore. But I try to promote the indies, and you can also get it on Amazon.
Okay, well, great. So folks, go out there and get the book, okay? And if you walk into a bookstore and you don't see it, talk to the manager, tell them to order it, they will, and you'll pick it up in a couple of days. So thank you for sharing that, Meg. You know, with everything that's going on in the United States right now with the political arena and everything, a lot of people are anxious. A lot of people are depressed. There's a lot of what I consider heavy energy, this dense energy that you talked about earlier. What can we do for ourselves, or how can we connect so that we can not be so immersed in this irritating energy and rise above to an energy that is more aligned with our own vibrational pattern?
Well, that's a great question, Monique, and there are lots of different ways, but the principles, there's four parts. The most essential are that you intend to release the density and you fill with something else.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people know how to, you know, release stuff, but it's like when you dig a hole in the garden. Half of the hole fills up with dirt every shovel you take out. And our bodies are the same way. If I release my grief over the destruction of the hurricane, for example, and I don't fill with something else, it's likely that the grief or some other dense thing will be able to come right back in. Whereas if I release the grief and connect with the tree out in the yard and feel the love of that tree or love of nature and fill myself with that, I don't have an empty hole waiting to be filled up. So the very first way I learned in the Andes was to imagine a tunnel or tube coming out from below your belly button into the earth and gifting the density to the earth, the energy of density, because it's just energy. The earth doesn't care if you're sad or mad or despairing or whatever. It's just energy. And so you let that energy flow out of your body. You can see it if you're a good visualizer or just intend it. And then you, with every breath, you draw in the incredible, powerful energy of the earth that gives us all our food and holds us up and makes our world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example. So you fill with earth energy, and it might seem a little abstract at first, but when you do it a few times, then you start thinking about, well, what are the qualities of the earth? You know, how does that feel in my body?
Mm-hmm.
You can also do the same thing with any of the elements, and I like to use air because everybody's breathing all the time, right?
Hopefully.
we seem to stop a lot, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm in the store and somebody's acting out and being all obnoxious and spewing their energy everywhere,
mm-hmm.
I can breathe that out of myself and breathe in fresh air. And breathe it out of myself and breathe in fresh air. And in the process, I'm kind of making an energetic space around myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this energy exchange is a gift. The air gifts us and we gift the air. And it's a lot of my students will worry, well, if I give my dense stuff to the air, isn't it bad? And it's not toxins. It's not like petrochemicals or mm-hmm. pesticides or physical things that are harming the world around us. It's simply energy. And like the quote you read in the beginning, everything is made of energy. So there's this constant exchange in the world all around us. And it's, you know, part of the book is to help us enter that exchange and be more fluid. Fluidity is a term that my original teacher, Americo Yabar, used a lot. And I think about it all the time. How can I be fluid when I'm worried about my daughter? How can I be fluid when my husband is acting out? How can I be fluid in the face of all these disasters and the fear that arises? So these practices are ways of working with it.
Okay. Well, you said a couple of times you used the word intent. How does one develop intent?
Instead of just acting, you might think about, for example, what outcome you want.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might say, as you do in a meditation practice, I dedicate this meditation to all suffering beings. That's intent. If your kid who you've been fighting with is coming home for a visit, setting intent to be open-hearted is a way of shifting your energy just with the thought. Because what happens in our physiology, in our bodies, a very nanosecond that we set an intent like that to be open-hearted, our whole physiology starts responding. We're not even conscious of it, but then our body changes, our heart changes, our breathing changes, everything changes. And when you start working with it, you see that you feel different.
Mm-hmm. So
does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I was going to follow on with, say if someone's in a relationship that's not working wonderfully well, and for whatever reason they haven't found strength to make an adjustment, would setting an intention to shift the energy, and I guess it would be shifting your own energy because it's not really ethical to change somebody else's energy.
Right.
would that help the person, like, open their eyes and perhaps release themselves from that hurtful relationship that's holding them back?
Oh, absolutely. I happen to be married to a Sagittarius who was very, not physically explosive, but he'd get mad and he'd act out.
Mm-hmm.
I tried being silent. I tried talking to him. I tried everything under the sun, and nothing worked. He would just spew until he ran out of steam, and then he was fine, and I was, had to spend 2 days getting over it.
Mm-hmm. Shaken, to say the least, yes.
So I started in a time of my life when my daughter was really struggling and my parents were aging and needing more than I could give them. I really started using these practices to survive. That's mm-hmm. all it was. It wasn't becoming a great spiritual being. It was just trying to have some equanimity when I felt overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And what I watched in my family was that as I shifted my own energy and stopped being so reactive and got more clear on what I was doing, regardless of what somebody else was doing, that affected the dynamics of everybody. And so it really changed the relationship. I mean, my husband noticed, and it changed our relationship. We had to talk about it, too. But mm-hmm. now I can mention the fact that he's acting out, and I don't really deserve that. And he gets it. We don't have to have a big fight about it or a conversation. He just... then he goes off and sets his own intent and shifts his own energy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a wonderful practice that, I don't remember where I learned it, that I sometimes teach couples because I really like doing it. And it's a way where you can sit looking at each other to do this.
Mm-hmm.
When one person breathes out, the other person breathes in. So you match your breathing to each other. And it's very interesting what happens in that. But I also have done that when I was feeling out of sorts. And I, with my partner, I'd be lying in bed, and I would just do the breathing without even asking him to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kind of gentleness and opening, because it helps you remember why you love somebody, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have words for it. I just know it shifts things around.
Well,
so, all these energy practices, like you say, we can only change ourselves.
Yeah.
We change our response to anything, whether it's the president or the hurricane or the difficult relationship. That other person has to change. There's a woman named Virginia Satir who is a famous psychologist who talked about the dynamics, that if you have three people in a family and one person alters their behavior, everybody else has to alter theirs in some way.
Mm-hmm.
It's the nature of things.
Yes,
so that's our power.
Okay, and yes it is. Well, a couple of times you've also mentioned the hurricane, and we're talking about Hurricane Irma, folks, if, for whatever reason you're not aware of that. What can we do as the wonderful beings that we are, to assist besides giving money and sending well wishes? Is there any type of energetic practice that we can do to help calm or maybe even help people with raising consciousness or something? What can we do to help those people, especially if we're not living in the areas of the southeastern United States or the Virgin Islands or any of the other places that got blown away?
Well, that's a really good question. There's two things that I do, and one of them is coming into resonance myself with the storm as much as I can. Because when we hear about it and we see pictures of the wind or the pictures of this is before it's happening, coming, and everybody's there's all this anxiety coming off the airwaves, right, from the television. So I found myself often sitting and just being with that wind and being with, in a way, of accepting whatever it was, and at the same time allowing it to act out its energy, not trying to change it. It's just like you can't change a person to change, you know, to send the hurricane from here to there is unethical in the Islamic world. But being in resonance with what's happening is a way of coming into some kind of internal consciousness. And then the other thing, I work with light, sending light, being light a lot, not just, you know, in my community, but in the world. And so this morning when I was meditating, I did a practice it's called transfiguration, where you go into your essence. And I was in that place, and I felt that I was connecting with all the other people at that moment who were meditating around the world. And it was a very beautiful, very peaceful way of holding space. And so that's another thing we can do, is to hold loving space in whatever way we're skilled in doing, for all the suffering beings. And that's, you know, it's a gift when we can do that, even if we can only do it 5 minutes out of our day. Because I'm sure you've heard the story of the when the butterfly on the other side of the world flutters its wings, that has reverberations all the way over to this side of the world. That's how much energy and vibration travel. So anytime we come into a peaceful vibratory state or loving state, we're affecting the energy in the world, even though we can't see exactly how or where.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so boy, that really brings home that good old golden rule about doing to others as you would have them do unto you, and, you know, living your highest life that you could possibly live, because it truly does make a difference. Folks, we're speaking with Meg Buehler. She is the author of Weave the Heart of the Universe into Your Life, Aligning with Cosmic Energy. You can check her out at megbuehler.com, and on her website she has where you can purchase the books at various places and more information. So Meg, you know, we've talked about energy a little bit, but let's back up a little bit. What about a listener who's really new to energy, doesn't quite know exactly what we're talking about? Where would they start?
Well, there's a couple of ways. There's a couple of suggestions I have. But probably the very first time I became aware of energy, I was in a workshop many, many years ago, and they had us rub our hands together, you know, which creates heat, and then hold our palms opposite each other and feel. And up until that moment, I had no idea how much I could feel with my hands. It was a total revelation. So that's something you can do simply. I write on my blog at least once a month, sometimes twice a month. I write about different practices that you can work with, like the swallowing the sun. I mean, that's an energetic practice. It's real simple. You don't have to have any thought about it. You just go and do it and see what happens. So I think a lot of learning about energy is observation and paying attention.
Well, how have we become too busy to pay attention? Do you know why that is and what we can do to slow it back down? Getting back to the...
Well, that's where intent comes in.
Okay.
Just like, you know, we're all too distracted. So I fall into it just like everybody else does. But I have a little talk with myself. I'll say, Meg, you don't need to look at Facebook for a half hour before you go to sleep. And so I'll say it to myself for a few nights until I get the message. And then I'll do something else. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I mean, it.
I was just going to say one other thing about learning energy. One of the things that I offer people is a free half-hour strategy call. And so if if somebody's listening who really doesn't get about energy, I'm happy to talk to them and give them some suggestions and sort of get help them see how they are experiencing energy and find out ways to do more. So you can always do that on my website. But also this book. I mean, reading this book, even if you don't know anything about energy, when you do stuff, you experience it.
Exactly.
So this isn't a book, this is a book that has a lot of substance in it, but it's not primarily about things. It's primarily experiential.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the book you say, it's laid out in, I think, what, two or three different parts, and they're sequential. But what I found with the book is I open it up to a page, and boom, there it is, something that I need the practice for. And I do the practice, and they're quick and short, folks. This is not hours of meditation or even sometimes minutes of meditation. It's quick, down, dirty, shift your energy. And I mean down, dirty with the highest respect, because sometimes you just need that quick flip of the switch, if you will, like turning on the light or turning off the light to adjust your energy. And if you got to spend an hour in meditation at the top of the mountain, guess what? More than likely you're not going to, have that instantaneous switch that you need at any given moment. So, folks, get the book, because there's a lot of practices in it, and it does work very quickly to shift the energy. Now, Megan, part of the title in your book is Aligning with Cosmic Energy. How would we align with cosmic energy? Walk us through that.
Well, let me start by saying when we're not aligned, whether it's with cosmic energy or the person we live with, we experience conflict and dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
So the practice of getting aligned is really an important part of managing your energy, actually. I want to align with somebody I'm doing some work with, so we're not at each other's throats. I want to align with the people I live with. I want to align maybe with my neighborhood, and all the way up to the cosmos. So alignment helps you belong, and it helps you be in fluid resonance with what you can call the river of being. And so these practices of connection in the book are ways of aligning differently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you start out with the cosmos. You might start out with the tree or the weed or the river. But as you align with what's right around you, nature, then you get the hang of how you get aligned. And it sort of becomes bigger and bigger. There's a central meditation called the Meditation for the Earth and the Cosmos in the middle of the book that was really my path to aligning with cosmic energy. And other people have kind of similar meditations, but it really came to me over a long period of time listening to my teachers and watching what people did and sort of putting two and two together. And I started actually doing that meditation at night when I couldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So the most simple form is you're connecting with the earth and you're opening your crown and connecting with the cosmos. And then you bring those energies into your heart and fill your body, and then connect with different places around that you love. So the aligning with the cosmos, I guess I would say aligning with the cosmos requires that you experience the cosmos. And you experience all the parts of the world that make up the cosmos. Because we are, it sounds maybe funny, but we are the universe, each of us.
Yeah.
The frog, the tree, the person, the forest, we're all the universe. And so aligning with cosmic energy is both aligning with those living beings and then with the whole. So that's the best I can explain it without reading the whole book to you.
Well, nobody wants people to buy the book.
But there's an example. You know when the eclipse was happening a few weeks ago?
Uh-huh.
We didn't have, where I live in Northern California, we didn't have a full eclipse. But I took a walk that morning, and around the time that it was going to eclipse, I stopped and stood still, and I was just, you know, this is an experiment. I haven't ever done this before, right? Because mm-hmm. I haven't had a full eclipse. I stood still, and I just was paying attention to the energy. So I heard things like cocks crowing at 11 o'clock in the morning, and mm-hmm. a lot of bird chatter that was the wrong time for the bird chatter. And so all the creatures were reacting. But what I felt most of all was that I was opening all my senses to whatever was happening, and it felt very heart-opening.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting. I just read a blog of a friend of mine who's a shamanic practitioner who actually got to experience the full eclipse, and it was the same for her. It was like a really beautiful blog. It made me cry, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you had that wonderful experience with the eclipse. And I'm surprised you didn't stick your tongue out drinking some of that energy, because that would have been some interesting energy to drink in. We've been, you know, talking about, you know, energy, and it's kind of been like chatter type and, you know, doing things. But what about silence? What about stillness? How does that affect us?
Being able to be still in yourself is an essential part of observing.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we know, even if we're sitting and trying to meditate, if our brain is going, oh, I have to go to the grocery store, oh, I didn't call this person, yada, 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 we're not still. So meditation is a process of whether you use a mantra or your breath or like in Vipassana meditation, which is what I learned, where you go through your, observe your whole body over and over and over again. It's a process of coming into stillness. And in that stillness, everything opens. So stillness and silence, especially of the mind, are essential. And some people are not able to be physically still. I have friends who simply cannot meditate.
Mm-hmm.
They can dance, and they find their stillness in the dance.
Mm-hmm.
Or they find their stillness in owning. There's when you do a vowel sound and tone, or when you tone om, especially when you do it with other people, the vibrations fill everything, and it's pretty hard to keep thinking.
So that
opens, it's not a silence, but it opens the space of big awareness.
Yeah, I get that. Because for me, when I do the om, if I do it for a period of time, like 5 minutes, it's like I step into the void. So
mm-hmm.
even though I'm toning, I'm going into silence, if that makes any sense to you.
It totally makes sense to me. I have the same experience. And it's, you know, you can read a lot about how vibrations affect you, and some people say, well, this vibration does this and this does that. That's kind of too complicated for me. I'm a simple person. But I know when I'm toning, I feel the vibrations in my body, and I feel I've experimented with the different vowels and how different vowels connect with different parts of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find that really interesting. So the vibrations that come out of your body also affect all the cells, and they affect your neural pathways. So, toning is a fabulous way to go into silence.
You just said something about the sounds of the vowels and affecting our neural pathways. So people who are struggling with fibromyalgia or with neuropathy or any of the nerve diseases that are out there, would it be important for them to tone vowels on a daily basis? Would that be beneficial as an integral part of their healing practice?
Well, it would certainly be interesting to try. I don't have a lot of personal experience with clients who've done that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do have is my personal experience in meditation, same thing would be true of Tony. When I'm in pain and I sit down and meditate, I no longer feel the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm shifting so much in my attention that my reactivity to it sort of goes away. Well, I think we're saying the same thing about vibration, that your attention. There's a quote that I love. It's not, you know, people say it different ways, but the quote is, where your attention goes, your energy flows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been certainly true for me and in my observation of my clients, that if I'm thinking about if my attention is on how I don't have any energy because I have fibromyalgia and I can't do this and I can't do that, and then I sit and start talking, my attention goes to the vowel I'm making,
mm-hmm.
to the movements of my mouth, to the vibrations in my body, and there's kind of no space to be worrying about what I can't do or how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's very magic to me.
It is.
It's very amazing because we all grow up in this culture thinking we can't change stuff like that.
We're programmed
there's
not
a,
to.
There's a very, very strong cultural assumption that, well, if I'm sick, I can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had a client this spring who had stage 4 cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a very determined person, and she really wanted to heal. So we met only once in person, and then we would talk on the phone. And sometimes she was so sick she didn't even have energy to do that for weeks on end, and then other times. But one of the things that came up in our work together was the importance of her healing some ancestral trauma that she was still carrying. And, mm-hmm. you know, we know from epigenetics that we literally carry trauma that our great-grandparents experienced
mm-hmm.
in the Holocaust or in a war or in slavery or in, you know, all the things that have happened. So anyway, she went and did a huge amount of ancestor work in a really beautiful way. It was just amazing to watch. And she became, Monique, so peaceful. And so loving,
mm-hmm.
so open to members of her family that she'd been having fights with and stuff. It was just, you know, it made me cry because it was mm-hmm. so beautiful to see that intent and to see how spirit can, when we set the intent, that spirit can help us heal not just ourselves, but all these relationships. So by the time she passed, there had been healing in all the people in her family.
Mm-hmm.
And that was her gift.
Yeah.
He said, this is what I came here to do. And that's consistent with what we know as shamanic healers, that
mm-hmm.
we're not always going to help people get well. Sometimes the illness is a vehicle for, like this woman, healing her family relationships, her ancestry,
mm-hmm.
You know, can be a vehicle for something else. But my job is to help the person find what is the opening and what's the purpose and how can they do that in a beautiful way.
What a beautiful story that you shared.
Yeah.
Very beautiful. Now, folks, we're speaking with Meg Beeler. She's the author of Weave, the Heart of the Universe into Your Life, Aligning with Cosmic Energy. You can check out her website, megbeeler.com. Now, Meg, when we go to that website, what are we going to find there?
Oh, you're going to find gorgeous pictures of me. No.
Well, you are a beautiful woman. You know, when you look at Meg, you're looking at a classic crone, and I mean that in the highest, most respectful way. She's an older lady like me, but she's absolutely stunning, and you can see the wisdom in her face. So what are we going to find there besides stunning Meg?
So One thing you'll find, there's sort of three pieces of the website. One is about personal healing, you know, what is soul retrieval, what is shamanism, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's places where you can download articles that go into things at length. There's a blog where every few weeks I post something about working with energy and responding to the state of the world, and always with the intent of having some practical thing that you can do and also to be inspiring, because mm-hmm. a lot of what all of us need is to be reminded that we can do this. It's not easy, but we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third piece of it is about the energy work, the energy alchemy. And I haven't, because of the book, I haven't been, I don't have any teaching schedule, but I also teach that and teach other things. But the website is designed to help people reconnect
mm-hmm.
with their souls, their spirits, their energy, with their love of the earth.
Okay. Well, you do have coming up, I think it's this year, don't you have a like an 18 or 19 month course that is centered around the new, the full, and the new moon, the full moon, and I don't remember the other moon, the harvest moon maybe?
The 14 month course is a mentoring course where a group of women gather and they're each following their own path, but we meet sometimes in person and often in cyberspace
mm-hmm.
to support each other and to delve deeper into how to proceed. So that's one of the things that I've been has been sort of unfolding for me recently, is mentoring people. And mentoring is really different than having a teacher. Having a teacher is when you go to somebody and you learn X, Y, or Z. You know, you learn practices, or you learn a way of thinking, or you learn a meditation, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mentoring is a more fluid process where somebody who's been walking a path that you're also on, but maybe for longer or more deeply or whatever, can respond to whatever issues are arising for you and help you dive more deeply into them. So I ask really good questions. That's what my mentees always tell me. So, you know, we might be talking about how do I make this art and spirit a business?
Mm-hmm.
So I might suggest some journeys for the person to take to help get spirit help on those, or might be talking about exploring plants and what are the ways that you can explore more deeply and find out the nature of plants and be in a conversation with the plants. I'm not talking about ingesting plants. I'm talking about people who are doing herbal things and so
mm-hmm.
on. But
mm-hmm.
in both cases, I'm drawing on, you know, 25 years of doing shamanic journeying and figuring out how to ask the right question. Because working with spirit is about, it's always figuring out, it's partly your intent, but what is it I really need to know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's figuring out a way of asking it so that you get guidance rather than a yes-no answer. It's different than using a pendulum or, you know, I should do this or I shouldn't do this. It's more mm-hmm. like, the question would be, if I take this job, what will be the benefits for me?
Okay.
Or if I end this relationship, what's going to be my path after that, and how will that affect, you know, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
So it's asking questions and exploring with spirit and maybe doing some practices to help that along.
Okay. You've shared so much with us tonight, and I am truly appreciative of everything that you've shared. If there was one or two pearls of wisdom that you would like to impart to the audience tonight, what would that be?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that rather than focusing on our pain body, we can focus on our joy bodies. And the pain body is all the yucky, horrible things that happen to us all the time. And we feed those, that's what keeps getting fed and attended to. And if we shift joy body, then that's what's getting attended to. And it's really, so that's very exciting to me, since I grew up in a household where the joy body was not a part of our life.
Okay. That was a learning curve for you. Okay.
Right. And, you know, the quote you gave of mine, the universe is a feast, get back to the table. The reason that's so important is that when we partake of the feast, it takes us out of our small selves, our little egoic selves, and opens us up to the whole universe. And it's really a beautiful way to live. So it's an exciting, that's the full of potential.
Okay.
That if I can shift out of growing up feeling like I was never enough, then everybody can.
Okay.
If you can shift out of feeling like you don't deserve something, then everybody can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the intent and the receptivity and the reciprocity and the resonance come in. The four pillars, we didn't talk very much about them, but the four pillars of perception.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, folks will read a lot about them when they read your book. Again, the book is Weave the Heart of Your Universe into Your Life, Aligning with Cosmic Energy. And, of course, it's by my guest tonight, and that's Meg Beeler. Meg, I do appreciate your time and attention tonight. I am extremely grateful. The divine in me honors the divine in you. And for go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Monique, I'm equally grateful. It's wonderful to be able to share and try to gift people some of these practices and ideas and have the conversation, because we need to have a conversation besides what a yucky president we have.
Yes, and hopefully that'll be over soon. We won't have to have that conversation, but that's another show. Okay.
Right.
And thank you to the audience for being with me tonight as we collectively get over it and we get into aligning with our cosmic energy. I'm honored, and I do appreciate your time and attention. When you are ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the radio show. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make the call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.